If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter number 27. And I know that today is Good Friday. And by the way, every day with Jesus is a Good Friday. And the thing that makes that Friday good is the fact that he was resurrected 3 days later. And we can debate about whether it was Friday or Wednesday, and I believe that they may be off just a hair on that, but it doesn't matter the specific day. It's the fact that he died. And 3 days later, he rose again. And I'm glad you started out kind of talking about him dying, but you ended with him resurrected, even in the song service today. The title of the message is, How Do You React to a Storm? How do you react to a storm? Many of y'all are familiar with this. You're all Bible students. And as we take a moment and you look at the Apostle Paul, as he is in his travel, by the way, verse number 1 of chapter number 27, you'll find out he is on his way there to speak in Rome, and specifically there it says sail into Italy. And as he is making this passage, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but we're going to walk through some truths from this chapter. He's on his way to Rome because of what had taken place, what had been accused of. By the way, everyone he stood before and gave his story, because he was a Roman, he could not be he couldn't be put to death unless it was authorized, or the permission was given by the Roman government, because he was a Roman. He had to have due process, if I could say it that way. But as we see the Apostle Paul, as he makes this travel, you understand that he was given to a man as far as part of a group of prisoners that were traveling along this way. And you'll see in verse number 10, just as a prelude to things, that just the decision for them to sail. They began, in fact, the first 9 verses, it talks about how that they left and they traveled throughout a little bit. And then they get to a place. They get to a place in Crete. And as they're there and they're making the decision to continue to sail, this is not the time of year that they ought to be traveling. There's storms out at sea, and it's a stormy season. And but they make the decision that, hey, it's calmed down a little bit. We want to go ahead, and we're going to load them up, and we found somebody that will make this dangerous trip. The Apostle Paul, you'll see in verse number 10, the Apostle Paul speaks out, and he said unto them, Sirs, I have perceived. By the way, there's some wisdom God gives people. And he says that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and the ship, it says, but also of our lives. Verse number 11, it says, Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. I just want to stop there for a minute. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful. They would have never been in this storm had they listened to the right person. By the way, the Apostle Paul had no decision-making process in this. He wasn't going to get to say, no, we're not going to go. He was just saying, it's not wise. The ultimate decision laid on somebody else. But it affected the Apostle Paul. By the way, many of you may be in a place where you see that the decision of somebody else has affected you. That's part of some of the storms that we go through. Whether that would be somebody that is a manager over you, whether that would be a spouse, whether that would be, and you could fill in the blank, that you may be in a place that you didn't make the decision to be there, but yet the storm is going to come. And we see the storm does come in this case. You'll see in verse number 14 that there's this great storm that takes place. And these winds that begin to beat against the ship. But I want you to see in the midst of this storm that the Apostle Paul really lays out some things that would take place. Look at with me at verse number 14. It says, but not long after there arose against the tempest, a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. By the way, Euryclidon literally means a violent agitation. It says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear unto the wind, it says, we let her drive. Now, I know a lot's been said. This is what happens when you let her drive. But that's not what it's talking about there. I don't know, maybe if it didn't wreck and run into something along the way, it would have said, and we let him drive. But here it mentions that we let her drive. Now don't miss this. Sometimes in Scripture we miss some of the small things. When the storm comes, you understand, there's times you have to take your hands off of things. And it's beyond your control that you just have to give it to the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, he already said we shouldn't be going. This is not wise. There's some things that are going to take place. The first thing that you ought to do in the storm is just let go. Is just let go. So we are such controlling people. And by the way, it is hard. You're getting ready to enter this. It's the empty nest syndrome. You know it's hard to let go of your children. It's hard. Now we never let go. I mean, we still, hey, you shouldn't do that. But ultimately, there comes a time where we just have to say, Lord, it's yours, and it's in your hands. You know, we've spoke up, as the Apostle Paul has. But then there comes a time where you just let the storm move you. By the way, the storm took them way out of the way. Where were they headed? They were headed to Italy. They were headed to Rome. They find themselves on the other side of Sicily, which is that island. And they're supposed to be on the Italy side of the island. Instead, they end up on the Africa side of the island. Why? I'll tell you, because they didn't listen. They didn't listen. Why do you think they didn't listen to the Apostle Paul? This is just, I'm just going to inflect here for just a minute, okay? They didn't know who Paul was. You know, some people are not going to listen because they don't know who your God is. They're not going to listen because they don't know yet. You know, in the midst of this storm, God's teaching not just the Apostle Paul. He's not just teaching. There's a centurion here. There's other prisoners that are here. There's others that are watching. And what is it that he's teaching them? Well, we'll see here in just a moment. But as we look down a little bit further, what's the next thing that they do in the midst of this storm? It says in verse number 18, it says, and we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day they cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. You know what happens when we start going through storms? We start lightening the load. So what can we learn from this? We learn what's important. What are the things that are most important? Is it me having my way? Is it things? Is it the car that I drive or the house that I live in? At the end of the day, what is truly important? By the way, you'll find out one of the things that they didn't throw out. They didn't throw out meat. Amen. I wasn't born in North Carolina. Born in a place called Louisville, Kentucky. But let me tell you, North Carolina knows a little something about meat. If you've ever had some good smoked barbecue. You know, they held on to some things and they realized, okay, if we're going to live, here's some things we need to hold on to. But here's some things we need to get rid of. And they begin to toss some things. And they lighten the load. Oh, we're running a race. Lay aside every weight, every sin that besets us. The things that would pull us down. The things that would cause our ship to go under in the midst of a storm. You know, when storms come, we begin to evaluate. We begin to look. We begin to consider. But let me tell you, it starts getting exciting at this next part. In the midst of the storm, they learned that there were some things that they didn't need. There was the letting go. But let me tell you, they begin to listen. They begin to listen. You know, they started out letting go. They begin to lighten the load. But you'll see in verse number 21, it says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have heard, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not having loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." It says, "And now I exhort you." You know, he's going to encourage them here. You know, in the midst of the storm, it helps to be encouraged. Well, where do they find their encouragement? We're getting ready to come up on Easter. We're going to find some encouragement. People come to, no other time of the year, they come to church on Easter. And I'm figuring this out. Because Easter, every Easter message is positive. It's hard to have a negative message concerning the resurrection. And there's other times they come in and we preach against sins, and we preach against pride, and we preach against alcohol, and we preach against, but on Easter they know we're going to talk about the resurrected Lord. You know, here he begins by saying this. Let me tell you something. I was visited by somebody. He says, "And I exhort you to be of good cheer." Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of confusing to me. I'm kind of simple-minded. I know that's hard to believe, but I'm a simple-minded man, okay? There's a storm. The ship is just going wherever the ship is getting pushed because we let go. We let her drive. And now we threw out all the things that we're kind of partial to, you know, like tackling, and we're lightening the load, and some of the things I can see them just kind of weeping, and they're throwing it overboard. "My mama gave this to me when I left." Man, they're lightening the load. And then the Apostle Paul says, "Hey, cheer up. But you know, the Apostle Paul knew something they didn't. Let me tell you, the world will look at you, and the Lord and the world's going to be like, "I can't believe they're going through that. And they seem to be so happy." Oh, let me tell you, the reason he could stand there and say, "Be of good cheer," he gives it to them. He says, "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." You're going to lose the ship. You're going to lose the things. But your life will be spared. It says this, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God." I want you to notice three things concerning this encounter that he had. Whose I am. You know what he recognized? Whose he was. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to Jesus. I usually don't recognize anything Hollywood has to say or do. But there's a show out there called Toy Story. Some of y'all giggling. Y'all seen it, haven't you? And Woody, he lifts up his foot. I'm Andy's. Look, it's written right here. Let me tell you something. I belong to Jesus. I thought about just writing Jesus on the bottom of my foot, but I didn't want to walk on him. I belong to him. You know what the Apostle Paul, he realized in the midst of the storm? That he had no control of him being there, but his God had control of the storm. And he belonged to him. Not only did he belong to him, but he says this, and whom I serve. I belong to him, but I want you to know something. I don't just belong to him. I'm going to serve him. And I know this is a Bible college, and everyone sitting in here at some point in their life says, I just want to serve Jesus. But let me tell you, when the storms come, reassure yourselves that not only you belong to him, but that you're going to serve him. By the way, he was letting them know. There's prisoners here. There's the centurion that's here. And as the centurion and as those prisoners are hearing the voice, and he's saying, cheer up, let me tell you something. The boat's going down, but we're all going to live. Let me tell you, you don't have to look very far to know that the boat is sinking. If you're looking for government, it's sinking. If you're looking for an economy that's booming and boost, it's sinking. But in the midst of a sinking ship, let me tell you something, cheer up. I belong to him. I'm going to continue to serve him. But lastly, look at this for a second. Goes on. Saying, fear not, Paul. This is the angel speaking to him. Thou must be brought before Caesar. By the way, you're familiar with Acts. This was a promise that God gave him before he ever got on the ship, that he would get to stand before Caesar and give the gospel in Rome. It says that you're going to be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sell with thee. By the way, there's a lot to be said about who you're with. Some of you have been blessed because of some parents that you're with. Some of you are blessed because of a place that you've come for college. Some of you have been blessed because of some individuals that have been influential in your life. Some of you have been blessed because of what boat you're on with who you're on the boat with. But he goes on. It says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, he says it again, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Oh, be of good cheer because of who we belong to, be of good cheer because of who we serve, but be of good cheer because of who we have believed. Oh, for whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against this day. Let me tell you something. You can believe him. You can believe him. What takes place after this? There's some things that begin to transpire. You know, they begin to move on now. The ship is getting close to another island. As it gets close to that island, they're looking at getting off the boat. They're looking at stepping off of the boat. And in the midst of stepping off the boat, the Apostle Paul says in verse 31 to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, and they let her fall off. You notice there's a change that begins to take place here. They begin to listen to the Apostle Paul, and they stayed in the boat. You know, the Apostle Paul had some instructions. One was to be of good cheer. Secondly, is to stay in the boat. Let me tell you, wait until it's God's time to get off the boat. Now, what did we know about the boat? Because he's already said it. It's going to go down at some point. Let me tell you, stay in the boat until God tells you to get out of the boat. You know, sometimes things get stirred up and there's storms and there's things going and we want to change where we're at. You know, maybe God doesn't want you to change where you're at. He just wants you to live for him where you are. It's not a matter of, he's saying, look, stay. Things, circumstances, jobs, home, rough times, stay until God moves you. Now, we come to a point. There's a traveling that takes place. There's this cheer. Be of good cheer. There's a stay in the boat. What's the third thing the Apostle Paul speaks of? He says, eat meat. You know, they've been fasting, it says, for 14 days. It says, be of good cheer. He talks about staying in the boat. He says, wherefore I pray you, take, in verse number 34, some meat. For this is your health. You understand something? There's a lot to be said about taking care of this body. And I know that we talk a whole lot about bodily exercise profiteth little. But you ought to take care. You ought to take care. You ought to look at and to consider this body. Because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, look, we've been without strength. Let me just point out, as we get ready to close here in a moment, you'll notice, be of good cheer speaks of hope. Stay in the boat is a picture of safety. But eat meat is a picture of help and health. You know, that's what my God provides. We talk about hope. We talk about the resurrection. We talk about all that's going to take place. We look at what God is going to be doing, be of good cheer because of who we belong to, who we serve, who we believe. We have safety because we listen to the Lord and not allow circumstances to dictate. How does the story end? They waited. They didn't leave the boat immediately there. Days later, they see the opportunity. They run the boat up into the side of that island. And then I want you to notice something. I want you to notice how it ends. In verse number 43, it said, in the centurion, willing to save Paul, by the way, they were afraid that all these prisoners were just going to jump off the boat, swim to shore, and run off. But the centurion was willing to save Paul. Why was the centurion so interested in Paul now? Because it was the words of Paul that gave encouragement. It was the words of Paul that brought truth. By the way, it was Paul's God. working through Paul. And it says, the centurion, because they were going to kill everybody, says he stands up for the Apostle Paul and keeps them from the things that they had purposed to do. And said he commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Now they're close enough they could just swim to land. Now it's time to get out of the boat. They began to swim to the land. But I think our nugget of truth can be found in verse 44. It said, in the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Oh, they arrived safely on land because that was the promise of the Apostle Paul's God. But wait a minute. The people who could not swim, what did they use to get there? Broken pieces of the boat. Let me tell you, the storm provided broken pieces that they would take those broken pieces and those broken pieces would become life. Let me tell you, God may be breaking some things in your life and then God's going to use some of those broken pieces to bring life. When I think about that, I think about Patch the Pirate. It was a situation he wouldn't have chose of. His boat got broken, if I could say it that way. But yet God used it in the lives of literally probably millions of young people. Let me tell you, we're not to look at the storm the way the world looks at storms. May we look at the storms and say, be of good cheer. Oh, let go. Lighten the load and listen. And as you listen, you'll find, be of good cheer. Stay in the boat. Eat meat. Why? Because God's going to provide hope, safety, and help to those who follow in trust. The Apostle Paul was on a boat that he had no control over what was going on, but his God did. Let me tell you, I don't know where you're at, and I don't know where you're headed, and I don't know where you'll end up, but I'll tell you this. Look back at who you belong to, who you serve. And believe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I pray that you would help us to see in the midst of a storm that you're in control and that you're doing something way bigger than we could even imagine, and that there is hope, there is safety, and there's help for those who will let go, lighten their load, and listen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for saving us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to do a work in this invitation.